Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com for details. Man, we have another great show in store for you today. So sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, or Tumblr. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter, and that's at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. And I also have a chat room open. Out there in the chat room, you can leave your comments or ask questions. So whatever your pleasure, chat room, Twitter, Facebook, or just plain old my bell, we want to hear from you. But first, let's take a look at the current events. Greetings and salutations, everyone. It is good to be with you once again. And I'd like to say a merry, merry Christmas to everyone that's tuning in across the land. Without further ado, let's get right to our main topic. Wayne LaPierre's and an NRA's position on gun control. Now, I want to know, do you agree or disagree with the NRA's position on gun control? And that will be the main topic of the day. Now, Wayne LaPierre, the head of the National Rifle Association, made a second effort at selling his views on the Newtown school shooting massacre to the public in a contentious appearance on Meet the Press today. Now, this is his first public remark since he spoke at a public relations debacle of a press conference on Friday. LaPierre stood behind his call to put armed guards in every school, one of the most widely criticized parts of his early appearance. And I quote, "If it's crazy to call for armed forces in schools to protect our children, then call me crazy," LaPierre said defiantly. "I think the American people think it's crazy not to do it. It's the one thing that will keep people safe." LaPierre also strongly suggests that the NRA would fight any new measures that would limit gun purchases, calling them ineffective and denouncing the assault weapons ban as a phony piece of legislation. At one point, Gregory held up an oversized rifle magazine of the sort used by Adam Lanza in the shooting in Newtown and asked if he would ban it. "Isn't it just possible that we could reduce the damage, and I don't think it would make one difference," LaPierre replied. Instead, LaPierre attempted to shift the conversation to felons and lunatics who could be arrested if they tried to purchase a gun. Now, I know there's a media machine in this country that wants to blame guns every time something happens, LaPierre said at one point. "I know there's an anti-Second Amendment industry in this town. I'm telling you what I think will make people safe and every mom and dad will make them feel better. If we have police officers in that school, a good guy that if some horrible monster tried to do something would be there protecting. So I want to know today, what's your opinion on this issue? Do you disagree with the NRA's position, or do you agree with the NRA's position? Now, for many, many moons, the NRA has held a stronghold on the American people. They have put themselves in a position to be always forceful to put legislation in for that will benefit them for the most part. So what's your position? Should the NRA continue to have a stronghold over America, or is it the case that we have finally put up enough courage, if you will, to stand up against the NRA? What do you think about his comments? Were they ludicrous? To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We're going to go to the phone lines real quick. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Last four, 2651. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Steve from Indianapolis. And,
hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
How's it going? You know, we're getting soft as a nation. You know, we fight the war on terror. I see our military aggressively dealing with terrorists around the world. But here at home, we have homegrown terrorists. We have Timothy McVeigh's and Adam Lanza's, and I don't even like saying their name, but, you know, as men, our job is to protect women and children. Now, if I have to blow a man's head off to make my point to protect women and children, then that's what's going to have to be done. As far as armed guards in the schools, look at Columbine. I mean, that didn't work. But I believe teachers should have the option. In Israel, they have M16s in gun lockers in the classroom, and they have no school shootings because the Palestinians know. They go in, and they'll leave in a body bag. Everybody in Israel goes under military training. Now, I'm not saying we have to do that in America, but what I'm saying is we need to protect our women and children, and if heads have to be blown off, if people have to be put in body bags to set an example to these terrorists, and take down these school signs saying gun-free school zones. Power is respected around the world. Reason people don't like to mess with America, they call us the Great Satan, because we have power. The reason North Korea is respected, because they have a nuclear weapon, they have power. The reason Israel doesn't have any school shootings, because they have power. Power is respected. This softness, it's a gun-free school zone. It has no power in it. It's not respected. The reason white supremacy is around the world, because a lot of people died. White supremacy has killed off a lot of people. Power is respected. If you don't have power, you will get no respect. This idea we're going to have a perfect utopia and clean 300 million guns off the streets, it'll never happen. What do you think about my comment?
So, Steve, I had a lot of power in those comments. So I want to talk about them kind of one by one. So, first of all, you mentioned some of the lunatics around the world, Tim McVeigh and Adam Lanza and the likes. So they exude power, right? They came into these systems and with these guns, and they exude power. Is that the type of power that we want in America, that ludicrosity power? Or is it the case that, you know, or are you saying that it is best served if we all have guns and we all exude power? What's your position?
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, see, these terrorists are praying. They won't go and do mass shootings in police stations or airport because they'll be put down quickly. They're preying upon women and innocent children, and a lot of terrorists know that these women are mainly the teachers in school are women. And they think a lot of women don't like firearms. So, except the case of that terrorist mother. But for those rare exceptions, most women, will feel uncomfortable with dealing with a gun. But the thing is, and we're not in Kansas anymore, we'll have to let teachers know, if you want to go home and see your husband at the end of the night, you may have to kill a man. That's just the reality of the society we live in. We're not, unless you're going to do door-to-door confiscation, which will probably trigger a civil war, you're not going to get these guns off the streets. It's not going to happen. So the emotional utopia is not going to work. Banning assault weapons, that's not going to work either. These guys are standing in gun, they're at gun shows right now, standing in lines for 4 hours just to buy an AR-15 because whatever you ban becomes extremely popular. Even talking about banning, it becomes, it's just like marijuana or prohibition of alcohol. When you talk about banning something, it becomes extremely popular, and then everybody wants to do it. What do you think about my comment?
You know, I think that's, I think it's a natural propensity for people to be rebellious about anything you try to restrict from them. Absolutely understand that. But I don't know if the nation, America, is served better by providing everybody with a weapon. I mean, because in most cases, when you're talking about going into the police stations or military, for example, these people are trained to use the weapon in the right way. When you start putting weapons in the masses' hands, then you have a situation where these people are going out there and anything can happen. I mean, there are millions of cases where guns go off and they're cleaning them and they injure themselves, they injure kids, and in a lot of cases. So putting guns in everybody's hands, it doesn't seem like the answer. So
well, look at where the shootings are at. Look at Chicago with the gun restrictions. Look at where the shootings are happening. I mean, look at they're happening in liberal, more gun-free school zones. Look at Texas. Look at Virginia, where they have open carry. You can carry a gun in your holster openly in the grocery store. They have some of the lowest crime rates in the world. What it is is people haven't grown up around guns, so they want to criticize something they haven't grown up around. They probably never had a grandfather give them a shotgun for Christmas or something like. I'm in Indiana. We already have a law on the books that allow teachers to carry guns in school. All it is it's up to the school district in Indiana to decide that each school district has their own school board to decide whether to allow the teachers to carry those guns. Because, see, the less guns is not. Look at Switzerland. They have no standing army. They're allowed to have grenades and automatic weapons and take them home. Just so if they're ever called upon to form a militia to defend Switzerland, they can. And they have the lowest crime rates in Europe, even lower than the U.K. See, people say, well, there's not that many murders in the U.K. Well, look at the knife. Look at the stabbings in the U.K. See, people are still dying in the U.K. They're just picking up something different. They're just going and getting a steak knife. When people kill people, they're going to find a different way to do it, no matter if it's a gun or not. So what do you think about my comment?
I understand, and they talked about this example where this guy didn't have a gun, but he had a knife and killed these 20 certain people. But at the same time, he wasn't able to kill the people. He was able to harm the people. So so the guns, him not being having available to those guns, he was not able to cause mass tragedy. The instances that we have in the United States are mass tragedy cases where you're going out and killing these people. And because, again, going back to my original point about having these guns and these untrained people, and in a lot of cases where these people have mental health issues, are not the answer to the problem. And so let me ask you another question. So you talked about Tim McVeigh. You talked about Israel. So let's talk about a little bit more across the nations. Why is it the case, then, that we don't hear these type of incidents happening in other countries when you're talking about these mass killings, because they don't have the same type of prevalence of guns like we do in the United States? Why is it the case that other countries don't have these mass killings in the same instances that we do when it comes to guns?
Well, the thing about it is we're in a different culture. See, we have the strongest military in the world, so we have a culture of guns that was born from the Constitution. This has gone on generationally. It's a different, trying to compare us to Japan. I see people trying to do that all the time. Japan did not grow up in a Second Amendment culture. Japan is not a I don't believe they're playing violent video games all the time and watching movies that we watch here in America where heads of zombies are being blown off on television shows and like The Walking Dead. And we're a different type of nation. When you have the strongest military in the world, your children is going to be affected by that. You're not going to have the strongest military in the world with some soft, squishy people. You used to have the strongest military. You're gonna produce hardened and embattled children, just like Israel. Their children are hardened. They're embattled. They're ready to go to war. That's the type of culture. That's the culture that was built in this country. And you're not gonna dismantle or disarm that overnight without starting a civil war.
So
we're in a totally
saying,
different culture. That's
what
I'm saying.
That the price we pay for a strong military is this type of violence and the type of mental issues that we have. You mentioned the video games. So you're saying that the price we pay to have a strong military and the freedom that we have is these mass killings.
I mean, look at Bush. I mean, look, what I'm saying is you start a war on terror. You start a media. The media creates the problems that it complains about later. They're the ones that started the war on terror. They're the ones saying, hey, let's find Osama bin Laden and shoot his head off. They're the ones that put Saddam Hussein on national television and hung him by a rope. They allow children to see him being hanged. We allow our children in this country through the media to see the violence that our soldiers commit against other nations. Then we come complain about the same children when they're committing acts of violence. And as far as the mental health issue, I don't care what that man was thinking. I just wish somebody blew his head off because he had a bulletproof vest on. I'm not interested in what you're thinking because what you're thinking is not going to change what you actually did. That's hindsight. I'm concerned about you. Somebody needs to put a bullet through your head. You need to drop to the ground and your soul, and you need to go through judgment to God, and God is going to judge you for your actions, for your works. You will be judged. So God is going to be the executioner, the judge, and jury, the whole nine yards. He's still going to do that because he committed suicide. God's going to judge all that. But our job is to put them in body bags, get them out of our schools so we can continue getting back to teaching kids what they need to learn at school. We can't see. We have so many emotional people. They don't look at the reality. They're manufacturing weapons all over the world. Russia and Venezuela's creating a new AK-47 plant. They're going to be able to smuggle arms. Anything you ban, they can smuggle it right across the border. The drug cartels will turn into the gun cartels. They're going to be gun trafficking and gun manufacturing at home. All these hardcore right-wingers will be making guns homemade. Instead of having that kind of culture, hey, just let the teachers carry the gun. Let's put some armed guards in the school. That didn't work at Columbine. Armed guards can get gunned down, too, because they have a big sticker on their forehead saying, I'm an armed guard. So they're probably going to be the first ones to get killed. That's why, like, the teachers can't have access to weapons in a locked, secure place, because the gunmen don't know what teachers are armed. And that uncertainty puts in their head, hey, maybe I shouldn't do a school shooting in America, because you know what? I don't know what teachers has a gun. Somebody might pull a Uzi, a Mac 11. Somebody might spray me down. I don't know what's going to happen. You can't create that uncertainty with this soft, cushy teddy bear. We're a gun-free school zone. There's no power there. You will get no respect there. All you will get is terrorists. And it can get worse. It can go from school shootings to bombings. They can start bombing schools, blowing up hundreds of kids. It can get 10 times terrorists and Islamic phobics, and it can get 1,000 times worse than it is now. So, what's your comment on what I stated?
Wow, Steve, we're gonna talk more with you when we return from the break, and we want to ask a different question when we come back. We want to know what is the solution then? If we're talking about armed guards, if we're talking about putting handguns into the schools. What is the real solution, and what's the repercussion behind those solutions? More on the other side of the break. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
You are listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. My mom and dad will be right back after these messages.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company's tailor-made training and consulting, current events, and Ask Jima can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy, and I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend, and of course, my East Boone friend.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. Today we're talking about gun control. Over the last couple of days, Wayne LaPierre has come out to the media and kind of gave a different comments, if you will, about gun control and his position on gun control. Now we're talking with Steve from Indianapolis. And he's given us a great expose on his position of gun control. We're going to get more from Steve. So, Steve, I want to play a comment for you real quick, and I want to get you to respond. And this is Wayne LaPierre's comment on Meet the Press. Take a listen. Let me get you to respond to this.
Legislation works on the sane. Legislation works on the law-abiding. It doesn't work on criminals. It doesn't work on...
If it's possible to reduce the loss of life, you're up for trying it.
There are monsters out there every day, and we need to do something to stop them.
If it's possible to reduce the loss of life, you're worth trying it, correct?
If it's possible to reduce the loss of life... Yeah, I want it. That's what I'm proposing.
So let me widen the argument. Let's stipulate that you're right. Let's say armed guards might work. Let's widen the argument out a little bit. So here is a magazine for ammunition that carries 30 bullets. Now, isn't it possible that if we got rid of these, if we replaced them and said, well, you could only have a magazine that carries 5 bullets or 10 bullets, isn't it just possible that we could reduce the carnage in a situation like New York?
I don't believe that's going to make one difference. There are so many different ways to evade that, even if you had that. You had that for 10 years when Dianne Feinstein passed that ban in 94. It was on the books. Columbine occurred right in the middle of it. It didn't make any difference. I know everybody, this town wants to argue about gun control. I don't think it what will work.
Okay, Steve. Now, one of the solutions you posed earlier was that give them all guns. Put the guns in teachers' hands. Put them in their lockers, because if an assailant comes in, he doesn't know if they're going to have an AK-47 or Gatling gun or what he's walking into. What about a solution, though, as regulating magazines? Steve, what's your position on that?
Well, the thing is the NRA is right. The reason it won't work is because you have seconds to intervene in a shooting situation. I mean, you can shoot, and plus they can reload fast. People practice reloading, you know, and so that situation, a lot of people don't even know what the definition of an assault weapon is, and it's an automatic weapon, and that has been banned in this country since 1986. There was an amendment by Ronald Reagan to the 1968 Gun Control Act. These guns are semi-automatic, the Bushmaster, but the military can use it as an automatic weapon, but Bushmaster customized it so that it can be sold in the state of Connecticut. A lot of people don't understand. Assault weapon is a definition, that a word has been created by media. It's hard to get access to an automatic weapon in this country, meaning you hold the trigger down. A lot of people think this is what the terrorists did in Sandy Hook. He held the trigger down and all these bullets sprayed. No, the semi-automatic means you hold the trigger one time, one bullet is released. 26 times that finger trigger had to go in and out, in and out, in and out. That's what happened. People don't even understand what they're talking about in this country.
Okay.
So that it's not going to help because you have seconds. You have seconds to get and intervene with force. He has a bulletproof vest on. That means you have to shoot him in the head. A lot of people don't know how to hit a moving target. And when I say teachers should be armed, I mean teachers that go through proper training, because shooting a stationary object is different than a moving target.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's different. And I'm not saying, you know, without training, with the proper training, because having an armed guard, that didn't work in Columbine. You just a big sticker on your forehead saying, kill me first.
Okay. We're going to go to my co-host here. Joining me live in the studio is the executive producer of Current Events and the chief operating officer for TaylorMade Training and Consulting. I introduce some and present the others, Jima Hill Cook. Jima, welcome to the show. What do you think about Steve's comments?
Well, I mean, I understand them, and on a small scale, you know, I kind of, you know, agree with it, but I don't think arming more people is the answer, because, as he so eloquently stated, there was an armed guard at Columbine. Fort Hood happened on a military base. So I think as much as we say we're not that concerned about what the person was thinking, we may need to know what that person was thinking or what that person was feeling, because that might be the thing that helps us prepare. I agree. If somebody is hell-bent and determined on causing destruction, they will do it. But what we should be able to do is minimize the casualties. And at this juncture, arming everybody I don't think is the right answer, especially in elementary schools where you're dealing with young children, babies. I don't think that's the answer. But we definitely need to consider some other measures, some other security measures that does not include weaponry, i.e. some bulletproof glasses, i.e., you know, different security measures getting into the school. Because as much as we would like to think having more guns would keep us safe, the people, somebody will eventually find out who has the gun, because that's just the nature of what people find out. So they'll go find that person first. And get rid of them, and then everybody else is left, you know, defenseless, so to speak. So, you know, do we need to have a higher presence of people maybe in our schools during certain times? Possibly. Can we, you know, get a study done that kind of talks about what time, if there's something similar in the times of year that these things seem to happen more, and maybe, you know, we do that. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I know it's not just, it's not an either or. It's an and. So it's not just arming the teachers. There's some other things we can do to take a look at the violence that's not only happening in our schools. Because, okay, so we arm the teachers in the schools. What about the people at the mall? What about the people in the parking lot in front of the grocery store? What about the people on base?
The people in the movie theater.
What about the people in the movie theater? What about the people just on the street at their house and the drive-by shooter come by and shoot? So do we just does everybody just get a gun? I mean, at some point, we've got to ask the question, why are we so violent? And we have to ask that question, and we have to get an honest answer as to why the first thing we want to do is shoot and kill. Why is that the first response? You know, I mean, so the therapist in me wants to get to the why. I want to pull the layer back. But I also know we do need to do some other things to provide children, parents, administrators, and everybody to feel a little safer in their environment. But I think that's something that we all have to be responsible for. I'm responsible when I drop my child off at school to look around the neighborhood and to see what's happening in the neighborhood and pick up when I see something that I don't remember seeing the day before. And then it's my job to say something about it. So, you know, if all of a sudden I'm seeing a group of people that I've never seen before congregating at the school or nearby the school, I need, you know, I'm responsible to make a phone call to the police and say, hey, I don't know if this means anything, but, and not say, oh, well, somebody else probably saw it and they'll do it. I think we all have to take some responsibility in every part of our children's lives. And so while we're trying to figure out whether or not arming the teachers is the best thing, what are some other things we can do? You know, and since and the sad part about it is you're talking about education, which gets cut every year in most state governments, local governments. Education gets cut. So you got more kids in the classroom with less people in the building, mind you. That's, you know, we don't want to talk about that part of the deal, that you got 400 kids, and I think they said they had 40 teachers. I don't think that's the right number, but I could be wrong. My math isn't all that great some days, but I don't think that's a good number to have. And so when you're saying 20-something kids in the classroom, or depending on what school system you're in, so how about we have more people in the building? How about we have an extra set of eyes available to kind of be aware? How about we have somebody patrolling the parking lot, you know, on a more regular basis than what we do now? I mean, there's so many other things we can do besides arming everybody. I just don't think that's the end-all to be-all.
Steve, now what do you think about that? I mean, the fact that that was a lot of
meat in there. I mean, I advocate for open carry, where you can carry pretty much anywhere in the state, like Virginia. You know, one of the things we can do to get the gun violence down in the black community and across America is to legalize drugs. That's causing more homicides, more body bags than school shootings, than any of that. There will be an incentive for less people to even buy guns, because the drug trade's not going on. I don't need a gun. I'm not going to be a drug dealer because drugs are legal. That I believe there will be less people buying guns if you legalize drugs. Less people going to shooting ranges. The drug trade's over with. Drug cartels over with. All that's over with. But instead of doing that, which I would believe would be more effective, it's that utopia. I keep hearing that from the Democrats, a utopia of peace and love, and it's like the hippie movement all over again. It's just, that's not the culture. We created a media culture of, look at Saddam Hussein. He's hung by a rope. Look what happened to us, what's going on in Assad. America, we're teaching our kids it's okay to fund the rebels. It's okay to drone strike children in Iraq and Pakistan with drone airstrikes and bomb weddings. We created this war culture in this country through the media. We created this war on terror, and then we blame the children for acting out, or, you know, acting out. You see, we're the strongest military because this is the culture we created. Now we want to take it all away. It's just... You see, folks, we need, legalizing drugs, I believe, will be a major step, be less people even having any incentive to own guns, less black community issues. What do you think about my comment?
Well, I'm going to say I don't necessarily know, because, you know, I don't stay far from a gun range, and it's not Pookie Mill I see over there shooting at the gun range. So legalizing drugs and impact on the black community, I think, is two separate issues. And so I don't, you know, because it's been talked about and identified over the course of the presidency, last 4 years and going into the next, gun sales have increased tremendously because there's some fear that the president is going to take away people's guns, which he's never stated that, and nothing in his policies has ever even suggested it. But for some reason, so gun sales have gone through the roof. These automatic weapons that, whatever they're, whichever one it is, semi, automatic, whatever, and so those sales and how they are sold, if we could tighten up who gets these guns, how many they're allowed to have, the waiting period. I mean, in the midst of, as you stated, arming everybody, I'm still saying that there ought to be some other measures in place that when I know I've done all I have and I've done all I can do and something still happens, that to me, that was just going to happen. But I can't say that as a nation, as a community, we've done all we can do to address gun violence. So I'm not satisfied with, well, okay, well, we just might as well go ahead and do that, because we haven't done all the other things. We haven't really taken serious. I mean, even when there was a quote-unquote ban, there was people still being able to buy the weapons. So how was that possible? And why is there no national database? Why is there no national registry? Why is there, you know, not a waiting period in every state for every type of weapon? I mean, you know, there has to be some things that we can do systemically to address the availability of the weapons. And then we began to talk about the other part, the you know, what's going on in people's minds, because nobody just wakes up in the morning and say, I'm going to go shoot up a school. Something else happens before that wake up. And so people in communities need to be paying attention to what's going on with people. And they won't call you nosy. They'll call you nosy. But I'm not going to sit back and look at somebody who don't look right and then not say nothing, even if I'm wrong, even if my assessment is off. For that day, at least that person knows somebody is watching me, so I better be careful. And that is a responsibility for every American, for every citizen. So we went through all this process after 9/11, taking shoes off when you go get on the plane. Surely, surely, we can begin to do some things differently when it comes to who gets the guns, how many they have on a national level. You don't take your shoes off in Dallas and don't take them off in Houston or off in Oklahoma. That's everywhere you go. It's every airport. So there are some things on a national level I think we need to do in order for it to have a lasting impact and for people to begin to take serious that we are in a crisis and that now that it's hit Newtown America and not just the south side of Chicago, we still need to take a look at it. Am I, you know, do I wish we had have taken a look at it 6 months ago when Chicago was losing their mind every weekend? Of course I do. But here we are. The elephant is still in the middle of the room, and we still need to take a look at what is causing the violence. Why do people want to shoot first and kill everybody in the room and then kill themselves? I don't understand it. And why are we not telling on the people that's doing the shooting? See, the clip of that, of what's happening in our community, is that, you know, some people know who's doing the shooting and ain't telling. So I can't expect somebody else to come in and save my community when I'm not willing to put my neck out for my own community. That's the other part of that. That's the, you know, that's the other part of the story.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the thing is I can't control what a man thinks. You know, he could be possessed with the devil, there were some stories that he was on some Luciferian satanic blogging he was doing on his computer. He probably was in some kind of a cult possessed with demons. I can't control what a man thinks, but I can control my bullet hitting his brain. That's what I can control. And the thing is, our job as men is to protect women and children under all circumstances, no matter if it's World War III in this country. If I have to blow a man's head off to protect women and children, then that's what's going to need to be done. We created, this is what I'm saying, folks, we created this military industrial complex. There is consequences for whatever you put in the universe. You put out power, you put out, I got nuclear weapons, I'll blow you up, we got predator drones, we got tanks, we got 1,000 military bases. When you put that out in the universe, your children are exposed to that culture that you created. Now you want to come back and blame the same children for a culture that the World War II generation created. And then you say, okay, we need to do away with this culture. That is not going to come overnight. And then whatever you ban, let's okay, like New Zealand, for example, it's legal to smoke weed in New Zealand. There's less people that smoke weed in New Zealand because, as a percentage, than America, because it's not banned. Whenever something is legal, people will do less of it. But when you ban it, it's extremely popular now. Now everybody, you see, that's the everybody's trying to get an AR-15. They're down the street from my house at the gun show. They got a 4-hour line over here in Indiana. These guys are standing in lines going across buildings because they think the president wants to take the AR-15 away from them. We're making something popular that this shouldn't even be popular. It's only popular because the media keeps talking about it. That's what I'm saying. We create the demons. We create the children to act a fool that we complain about. That's okay. What I'm saying. The hip hop, the video games, the movies, the culture, the I don't give a damn. I'm gonna do what I want. I don't care what Uncle Sam say, the policeman, and we created all that. What do you think about my comment?
Okay. So interesting comments, Steve. We're gonna go to take another call here. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook, last 4-2-4-5-6. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm Minister Cootie. I'm calling out of Kansas City, Missouri.
Hey, how are you?
How you guys doing?
Wonderful. Welcome to the show.
Yes, God bless you. I have three things that I want to briefly speak on and make a comment on. As an educator, and I'm in urban education, I don't want to carry a gun. And I believe that they should man up with the officers and just have them on site. I don't want to carry a gun. I don't want to carry a gun. I don't want to have to be caught up into that. I think if they put the police officers in the building and do what they and man them and have them in place, I think that would help us significantly. I think that would help us greatly. As Sister Jima has stated, you've got all these kids in the building and they're steady taking away the personnel, and they're steady having the current personnel do 3 or 4 people's jobs instead of not cutting the money that's coming into the schools. And then as far as the AKA assault weapons and all that sort of thing, in the inner city, you can just go to the pawn shop and buy it. You know, so you're always going to have somebody dirty not following the rules, because I don't understand how people who are quote-unquote mentally ill can go and buy such weapons. And then thirdly, oh, Lord, help me. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I don't want to call back in.
It's okay. Take your time. Take your time.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Lord. I had another issue that you all have brought up that I wanted to comment on. I know that I don't want to carry the weapon, and they're buying they're buying the they're continuously buying the guns and shooting up and everything. I can't think of the other one, but it was three things that I wanted to make mention of that's been occurring.
We'll keep your mic hot for a few minutes and then give you an opportunity to comment. So I want to take those two issues separately, and then we'll come back to you here shortly. So Jimmy, the first thing she talked about was everybody don't want to hold a weapon. So while it is true, there may be some benefit. I'm not going to concede the point that there's benefits to having everybody weaponized inside the school system, because I believe that, you know, it started out with handguns, and then they moved, they promoted themselves to assault weapons, and then we can use whatever definition we want to about assault weapons. But at some point, you know, they're gonna you know, increase their weaponry to what we call ATFs.
And legalizing the drugs.
You know, and so okay.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Legalizing the drugs.
Okay.
It's not my fault. I send my kids to college. I have four, and with the Lord's help, I was able to educate them, and they're all college educated. It's not my fault that when you talk about the money coming down, it's not enough money for this, it's not enough money for that. I believe the economics should still be at the front of the burner, you know, jobs, economics. It's not our fault as citizens. We work every day. We get an education. We pay our taxes and all of that, and still we're struggling with the jobs and everything. And the young men or whomever, they make the decision to go sell the drugs and all of that. I don't believe legalizing the drugs will make anything better, because there's so much ugliness and hurt and pain that comes from people being drug addicted, you know, the addictions. It's so much negativity to that. So okay. I don't think that's going to really bless our economic force, making things legal, because you've just got such a downsize to the drugs.
Okay, awesome. Awesome mm-hmm. comment. Okay, so three things that was brought out there. Everybody really don't want to hold a gun. I mean, we was talking about the fact that, yeah, I'm not going to concede the point that this is the solution to the problem by arming everybody in school, because I believe that if you start arming people with handguns, and then you promote them from handguns to assault weapons, then you're talking about shoulder fired weapons, and then what's to prevent somebody from, you know, driving a tank? You know, at some point, because the fact of the matter is, you're talking about people that have the mindset of destruction.
Right.
So, you know, and I call it the water game. When somebody sprinkles some water on me, then I throw a balloon at them, and then next thing you know, a fire hose is on somebody else, right? It's the water game all over again, but with weapons this time. And so, you know, again, I'm not going to concede the point that this is the case, but let's say, for the sake of argument, that yes, let's begin to arm our teachers. Well, is the case that these teachers may not even want a weapon. Jim, what do you say about that?
Oh, yeah, I stated that earlier, that a mm-hmm. lot of women are uncomfortable with arming weapons, and the terrorists know that most of the teachers are women. And so I would like the men to step up, the male teachers to step up and protect these women and children. I don't have a problem with M16s and gun lockers, the Israeli approach. You know, I understand power is respected. They will never do a mass shooting at a police station. They, you know, they won't try it because they respect the power. They won't respect our schools. They won't respect our women. They don't respect children, but they respect the presence of power. And that's what those M16s and the gun lockers in the classrooms in Israel is. It's not that they don't have school shootings, but it's a deterrence from the terrorists. It puts a fear in their mind before they step on Israel school grounds, the Palestinians or what have you, that you will leave in a body bag. We're going to make sure of it. And it puts a fear of God in them. That's what we need to put in these terrorists' minds. Like in the book of Revelation, I believe it's hard to have that type of book of Revelation tyranny come down from the government in this country. Mm-hmm. With all these arms around, I believe it'll probably be a civil war. We may be disarmed before the end comes, in this country, because it's hard to have a tyranny in America with all these guns floating around like ice water. But I believe the fear of God needs to be put in the minds of these terrorists, that somebody, like me, my name's Steve, will put them down and won't think twice, because women and children are deserve to be protected. And I tell you folks, I stand by it. I don't like men being pacified. I don't like that, because that creates a new culture where it's okay to kill women and children. No, we need to create a culture where it's not okay, and we are going to come down hard on you.
So let me pull on something you said real quick. You talked about terrorists not going into police stations, but what about the case when they went to a military institution and they gunned down tens of people? I mean,
that's because they had those, the military had all the guns locked up in a different side of the base. He knew that those guns were locked away. So basically they weren't training at the time. So that's when he took advantage of the situation to open fire, because he knew it's going to take time before that lady, before there was an intervention. So terrorists do that too. See, they prey on the weakness. They don't want to meet somebody armed. The Department of Justice has interviewed prisoners, and the number one fear is meeting an armed victim. They don't want to be shot back at. They want to take as many people out with meeting least resistance possible. That's why we need to put the fear of God in them, so they'll stop having this mindset that, you know, there's no resistance. I can just go in, take them out, kill myself, and meet God in judgment. What do you think about that?
Jimmy, have a comment?
This is my last comment. When we talk about in our African-American community, whereby people don't call in and they don't tell or they don't want to tell, well, I've been studying some things and looking at some things and experiencing some things in ministry. People don't feel protected. I give out the information, I tell or whatever, then boom, I got to deal with the hoods. I got to deal with the they'll tell you, oh, don't worry about your name or getting out or whatever. You're not protected.
Mm-hmm.
You're not protected. So you can't blame people for not wanting to give the information. They no longer even care about getting $1,000 or anything like that there. They don't care nothing about getting $1,000 from the TIPS hotline and the reward and all of that. We're not protected. So you've got to find a way where people in the African-American community will feel protected. Then I can give the information. And I'm like the sister. Call me nosy. Call me nosy.
That's a good point.
Call me nosy. And then I'm straight from the hood, raised in it, born in the projects, all that. And frankly, it's not that I'm afraid to carry a gun. I will straight up shoot you. I'm not afraid to use the weapon, but I don't live by the sword. I don't live by the sword, and I'm not afraid to protect myself or what belongs to me. But no, I do not want to carry a pistol, because I know I really will shoot you.
Well, we need more women like we really do, because men.
I'm really, men need to know that
if you touch women, they're going to be consequences. It needs to be. I don't like this. We could do whatever we want to women, and there's no kind. I don't like that. That's not good. That's not. As men, our job is to be providers and protectors. We can't protect with a gun-free school zone, where I have to be 1,000 yards away from the school. There was an assistant principal actually had to run a quarter of a mile to get to his car, grab his .45 out of the glove compartment, run back to the school, and disarm the student before he. You know, before he dropped more bodies. I think he dropped a couple bodies. He had to actually run to his car, because he would park away from the 1,000-yard rule for the school gun-free school zone rule. We need to do away with that. That is inviting terrorists. That is inviting the Timothy McVeighs of the world, the nutcases that don't care about the law. You know, the law is for the law abiders. It does nothing for people that don't care nothing about the law. And you know, we have to protect the women and the children, man, because, you know, that's what we're here for. I mean, yeah. I don't, you know, if we're not going to do that, then what are we here for?
All righty. Well, we're coming up on the last segment of the show. Steve, I'm going to go ahead and give you some, what are your final comments before we close out the show today?
My final comment is just put your faith in God. You know, don't put your faith all in government. You know, just work as hard as you can and just be positive and don't live off fear, live off faith. God bless you all. Have a good night.
Awesome. Gmo, final comments?
I think as we begin to peel the layers back off of the issue, we can uncover so many other things we need to take a look at. And one of the things that Steve kept mentioning was men and men, you know, taking care of the women and children, and I totally am 100% behind that. And one way we begin to unpack what else we can do, we can make teaching a lucrative career for men. And the reason why so many women are in your education system is because it's not enough for a man to be a breadwinner making a teacher's salary. So if we made it more appealing to men, then maybe we would have more men teaching and we would have more men bodies in our buildings. And so that's something we have to take a look at as well. And now this same group of people who was demonized over the course of this last election in Wisconsin and Florida and all these states about teachers and teachers' unions and how they just want all the money and, you know, what Chicago did at the beginning of the school year in terms of holding back from teaching because of some things they wanted to see in their schools, you know, educational things they wanted to see in their schools. Now we're wanting to arm these same people who we already call thugs, we as in society. Have already deemed them to be a certain group of people unfairly and unjustifiable. So now all of a sudden we want them to carry weapons. They're already doing buying supplies out of their own money, out of a salary that's really not enough for them. They're already being counselors to the children. They're feeding children. There was a lady the other day who was fired from her job because she was giving kids a meal because they didn't have any money. So they fired her at the school. Now, what kind of sense that make? And you're going to throw away the food anyway. So now we want these same group of people who we've demonized to now we want to say, okay, now carry a weapon to the school and protect our children as well. Something about that doesn't add up. And I'm saying as we begin to pull the layers back, we recognize this thing is bigger than just somebody being able to get into the school with a gun. It's bigger than that. It's a systemic issue, and we have got to own up to the fact that we have not done enough, not only to keep our kids safe in school, we're not doing enough to educate our children. We're not doing enough to provide them with what they need once they leave elementary school so that middle school is exciting for them, not scary. We have laws that say you don't have to go to school after you turn 16. Well, why is that still out there? What 16-year-old, average 16-year-old, can afford not to go to finish high school and expect to live a life free of crime? It's a small number. It's a very small number. So we've got to take a look at this thing in its totality. We've got to take a look at this thing from a holistic perspective. And not just a reactionary one to what happened. What happened was tragic. It's been tragic. Columbine was tragic. The first school shooting that I recall in my field back in Kentucky was tragic. They've all been tragic. But what have we done to really address the issue? We've cut funding for mental health services. Kids who might have issues won't be seen by a mental health professional until they get in trouble. So they have to break the law, and now we can go do a diagnosis on them, and we can assess them, and now we can treat them and give them medication. That's backwards. That's after something happens. We need true preventive measures in place to address all of these things. And we cannot do that having a one-sided conversation and having a reactionary conversation. We've got to talk about this in the calm time, not just in chaotic times, not just in crisis times. We do well as a nation in a crisis. We pull together in a crisis. I need to know where is all that pulling together when things are calm, when we can go 6 months without a major shooting somewhere. And we haven't even been able to do that. We have not been able to do that in the last couple of years, to go 6 months without a major shooting. Now, someone needs to take a look at that. So we have to recognize that it's not just the availability of guns. It's a combination of things. And as a nation, as communities, as individuals, we've got to step up and ask the hard questions and then begin to put together some strategic plans on how we're going to address it. Because if we don't, there will be another Newtown. There will be. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, if we don't do what we're supposed to do.
Well, that's our show for the day. I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning in. And, of course, a special thanks to my co-host, the wonderful, the magnificent, Jima Hill Cook. Now, don't forget to follow her on Twitter, and that's at AskJima. That's AskJima. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. Remember, it's written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Don't forget to bookmark this site and visit my blog, and that's at TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. That's TaylorMade TalkRadio.blogspot.com. You're listening to the sounds of Joyce Spencer in Sweet Dreams. Take us away, Joyce.